So our text is from Romans chapter 5, these words, "We have peace with God." So our text, you may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I think it was my mother who first told me that it takes two to make a fight. You see, as a young boy, I had two older brothers, one 4 years older than I was, the other was 6 years older, and while in general we got along quite well and did all sorts of fun things together, every once in a while, a tussle would occur. My mom's point, I think, was that if only one of us wanted to fight and not both, well, then there wouldn't be a fight. But being younger than my brothers by so many years and much smaller, if they had a beef with me, it didn't seem to matter whether or not I actually wanted to fight. For being younger and smaller, my only options were to stand and be whatever, or to run away as fast as possible, which is what I often did. So even if I didn't want to fight with my brothers, sometimes they would want to fight with me, and then what was I to do? Now, did you notice that we have somewhat of a similar situation in our Old Testament and Gospel readings? No, there we didn't read about fighting, but we did read about people who seem to want to fight not with other people, but to fight with God. So in the Old Testament reading, we heard about the children of Israel taking out their frustration on Moses, their frustration that in the wilderness there they didn't have any water for themselves or their children or their livestock. Now, here we should remember just what these people, the children of Israel, had seen up to that point, what they experienced, what they had witnessed. The 10 plagues that had been brought upon the Egyptians. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. The angel of God moving before them as they left Egypt. And then as the Egyptian army came near to them, moving behind them. Children of Israel had also seen the Red Sea parting. And they themselves had walked through that sea on dry ground. And when the Egyptian army followed, what happened? The waters of the Red Sea came back together. And every soldier in that army was drowned. Thus Israel, the children of Israel, had been freed from their slavery in Egypt. And done so, they'd been freed by the hand of God with many miracles. Miracles which they themselves had witnessed. And yet in the Old Testament reading, we find the children of Israel grumbling against Moses, grumbling ultimately against God. It was almost as if they wanted to fight. Now in the gospel reading, we heard about another situation in which we found, we could say, someone picking a fight with God. There we heard about not the children of Israel, but a cast-off of the children of Israel, a Samaritan woman who had been through a number of marriages and was currently living with a man. Jesus, our Savior, was speaking with her. And in that conversation, it becomes apparent that she's confused about how she's even to relate to God. How so? Well, where was she to worship? On Mount Gerizim, the holy mountain of the Samaritans? Or that mountain in Jerusalem upon which the temple then sat? Was she frustrated? Frustrated with God? Taking in her life, her situation, the religious squabbles of the day, she found herself maybe in her mind, perhaps, wanting to fight with God? Perhaps. How about us? When we're faced with a bitter problem, an apparently answerless question, when we don't understand how God is working in our lives or how God wants to work in our lives or what God wants us to do, do we get frustrated? Do we get angry? Do we, for all intents and purposes, attempt to pick a fight with God? God, I promise you that if I get that job for which I applied and for which I've been praying, I'll try to do better, I'll go to church more often, be nicer to my parents. But hey, I didn't get that job. So apparently, God, you don't want me to go to church. You don't want me to do any better, and you certainly don't want me to be any nicer to my parents. What gives? Or how about this? God, I just can't understand why my little brother died of cancer. Here now, even 50 years later. He was only 3 years old. Tried to understand it my entire life, but I cannot. And since I cannot understand it well, I really don't want anything to do with you. Or how about this? God, taking in all the things that are happening around the world, the news every night, it just seems like you're unjust, you're unfair, you're capricious, and so completely unpredictable. The way I see it, even if you are love, as they say, I don't want that type of love. So what are you going to do about it? Hey, God. Now we go on and on here with all different ways people interpret their lives, and from that interpretation would pick a fight with God. But the thing is, even if we want to pick a fight with God, God doesn't want to fight with us. God does not want to fight with us. God doesn't want to fight. God's not sitting in heaven just waiting to give us both barrels. Who are we, after all, as God pointed out to Job, to perhaps the most famous person who ever tried to pick a fight with God? Who are we but the creations of God? And who is God but our very Creator? It makes complete and total sense, therefore, that we cannot understand everything that God does. But we can understand this. God doesn't want to fight with us. God, in fact, wants to be our friend. Martin Luther's favorite psalm was Psalm 118, which in English begins with the familiar, "O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." Now, when Luther translated that psalm into German, he translated that verse this way: "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is friendly." O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is friendly, and his goodness endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is friendly. God is friendly. God wants to be our friend. And that friendship, that desire for friendship on God's part, caused him to remove the beef between us and God, and God did that through his Son, Jesus Christ. How did he do that? God did that by causing his Son to offer himself as a sacrifice for us on a cross here on earth some 2,000 years ago, thus covering our sin with the blood that he shed there. Now, what does that have to do with God's attitude towards us? The cross of Christ, the blood shed there outside of Jerusalem so long ago. Well, if the one thing that would cause God to be angry with us has been dealt with, if the one thing that would actually cause God to pick a fight with us has been taken care of, then God would not have any reason to be angry with us. Well, that's been done. For the blood shed on the cross, the blood of Christ, his only begotten Son, was shed for us so that God could and does forgive our sin, that thing which would cause him to indeed be angry with us. So our text: "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, that is Christ, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So through faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what do we have? Not a fight with God. We have peace with God. And through faith in Jesus Christ, to what do we have access? In what do we stand? The grace of God. That is God's undeserved love for us. What can we do then but thank the Lord? For what has the suffering and death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for our sin demonstrated but that God, our Heavenly Father, is nothing other than friendly, that his goodness does indeed endure forever. So going back to my mom and her saying about it taking two to fight, in reality, it only takes one. And when it comes to us and God, it is not God who's picking a fight with us. It's not God. If it ever seems that way, if we ever think that way, if we ever entertain that thought that that's what's happening in our lives, that God is somehow picking a fight with us, let's be confident that that is not happening. But in fact, we're the ones, like the Israelites in the wilderness, who are raising our fists to God. And at that point, why don't we simply laugh? Laugh at ourselves for our foolishness and repenting of our rebelliousness. Consider the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Once again, affirm that yes, because of the crucifixion of Christ, we in fact do have peace with God. We in fact do stand in His grace. So then, what do we do with suffering? I mean, if suffering doesn't mean that God is angry with us, if we in fact have peace with God, what do we do with suffering? Our suffering. Well, the Holy Spirit tells us, right? He tells us we're to rejoice. Rejoice in our suffering. Why? Well, we know that suffering produces endurance, endurance character, and character produces hope, hope that doesn't embarrass us because it's utterly foolhardy or baseless, but a hope that flows from the love in our hearts created there by the Holy Spirit of God. Pie in the sky thinking, especially when it comes to suffering. Those of you who have gone through heart surgery, had your knee replaced, hip replaced, you've experienced this. Experienced what? Experienced suffering, the suffering of rehabilitation. How excruciating, how painful, walking on that hip, walking on that knee, as muscles needed to be retrained and incisions needed to heal. But what did you know as you were going through that suffering? Did you not know as you first took a couple of steps with help, and then a few more, and then a few more with a walker, and then a few more each day holding onto a railing? Did you not know that the suffering you were undergoing was producing within you what? Endurance. And did not that endurance, that result, create character within you as you realized that you had come through surgery? And did not that character now give you hope that you can endure what's coming in the future? You came through knee surgery, maybe a second knee surgery, maybe both hips have been replaced, and you've had your heart worked on. You should be very positive at this point in your life. Yes, it's out of God's goodness, His friendliness, that heart, that knee, that hip now works better than it has for years, even without pain, all because of the suffering you underwent. Through faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, let's stop fighting with God. Let's stop fighting. For God, our loving Heavenly Father, He's not fighting with us. He doesn't want to fight with us. He, in fact, is at peace with us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace